You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
If I told you about her, the princess without voice, what would I say?
Eliza, come on. Eliza, hurry, hurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kael Smith. Joining me today from the Youth Critic Retrospectives, the Oscar edition, Brandon Cooley.
Everybody.
And just in case you missed the title and everything, we are definitely going to be looking back at the Oscars and the Oscar season, the movies themselves, and kind of our thoughts as a whole in terms of these movies and should they or should they not have won, and some of our surprises and things that we thought were snubs. So with that said, before we get to the films and the season as a whole, Brandon, what did you think of the Oscar show itself?
I never really critiqued the show. But with that said, I thought this one was really good. It was very funny. Jimmy Kimmel was a great host. He had a lot of good jokes in the opening segment. I like the montages they had too. They were pretty well done since it was the 90th Oscars. What else? Yeah, it was pretty good presentation. I wasn't bored throughout most of it. So,
yeah, it was a good show. I thought the jokes were kind of obvious, but you know, but I mean, that's the thing now with the Oscar show is that it basically is we got to make fun of the outside world. We got to make fun of all these topics that have been, you know, out and about for the last year. So, and we have to do it under 10 minutes. So we have to make it obvious and fun and light, and not to say that they shouldn't do jokes like that. It just felt like easy jabs.
Well, it's not supposed to be stand-up comedy. I mean, it's not supposed to be well-written,
like
elaborate, really creative jokes in that way, you know?
Fair, but I feel even in... I've only been watching the show for 13 years. Yeah, about that. And I feel like I've seen more creativity from hosts like, you know, Chris Rock or Jon Stewart. And even I thought Jimmy Kimmel's presentation last year was a lot better. But I think, you know, in terms of the show itself, there was no mishaps. It was a pretty, pretty by the number show. They did, you know, the Oscar songs were pretty good.
Which I want them to stop doing that because they're never good. I mean, that's never like, it's an award that shouldn't exist in the first place for me. Like, the one from Call Me By Your Name was a pretty good song. I like that one, but that's about it. The songs are never really that, like, unique. They're usually for animated movies, and I don't know. or musicals.
It's basically to get the people who like music into the Oscars, get them to watch it, because usually movies will hire, like, pop stars and musicians and people who are popular in that moment to do songs,
yeah.
and then they nominate them for that particular song for whatever reason.
It takes up 15 minutes. Yeah, it takes up 15 minutes of the show too. I'm not a fan of the song performances,
and really, I thought the songs that were nominated were okay. Like, the song "This Is Me" that touched a lot of people from The Greatest Showman, it's a really great song, but I don't care to, but I'm not listening to it that much. And honestly, even from Call Me By Your Name, Mysteries of Love, which is a really good song, it's not the best song from that movie anyway. It's just one.
Well, I haven't seen the movie yet, but it was a good song though. I mean, if I had to pick one, that would be the right one. And what you said about that song by The Greatest Showman touching a lot of people, let me get to that subject in a bit. Because there was a montage I want to comment on. But we'll get to that later, though. Not yet.
Okay. Well, what I mean by it touched a lot of people is...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's a song that kind of... It is about, like, coming out and being who you are. And being, you know... And being in within the moment and celebrating yourself. And it's a great message to have. But the problem with that song is... The scene that it's in, or the kind of order of scenes that it's in, doesn't really match what the song should be doing. Doesn't match what the character should be doing in that moment. And that's the problem with the song.
Well, there's a problem with the movie, too. Without having seen it, I can say that P.T. Barnum abused animals in his circuses. And it is not even remote. That's the problem with the movie to begin with. But that's a whole different subject. I'll get to that in a second. But we'll talk about that later. But, so with the awards, I guess, what was your thoughts across the board?
Across the board, I was happy to see Roger Deakins win.
Yep.
That was like a huge gasp when that happened. It was just a near tear jerking moment because Roger Deakins.
I wouldn't say that, but yeah, I mean, I kind of expected it to happen, but yeah, it was cool.
Well, I expected it to happen 5 years ago, but still it didn't happen. So, yeah. It was just great to see him win finally. I mean, the cinematography nominations, like everyone did a really good job that was nominated for Best Cinematography. Like everyone did an outstanding job. And honestly, I just want to get you want to just give the five awards to them because they all did something truly remarkable in each movie. But the thing is, Roger Deakins, in every movie he works on, pretty much since even before Oh Brother Where Art Thou, like his cinematography is, unless the movie's really good, it's the best part of the movie. Like it stands out.
Yeah.
So it's a deserving win for him to finally get it for Blade Runner 2049. And speaking of Blade Runner 2049, I wish it would have gotten more awards. Like, I wish it would have gotten kind of all the technical awards. I know a lot of people really wanted War for the Planet of the Apes to win Best Visual Effects, but I couldn't
care less about the visual effects category because, honestly, all the nominees kind of, like, I don't notice when visual effects are better or worse than each other at this point. It all kind of runs together. So.
Well, for me, what makes it work for me is if I can't tell what's CGI or what's a special effect and what's in camera.
Well, I can always tell. I mean, it's easy to tell when it's CGI at this point. But, I mean, it's still, unless it's a background setting, those are usually hard to see. But, like, when it comes to War of the Planet of the Apes, people were praising that for the CGI, but I could always tell it was CGI, the motion capture. I mean,
really what just makes good CGI for me is if it doesn't hinder the experience. If it doesn't take, if the CGI is just good enough to where I can still watch and be immersed into the story. And I think Blade Runner 2049 does it so much better because the world, much like the first movie, still feels very authentic and very real.
Okay.
So, and that's why I feel like 2049 just deserves it just a hair more, even though the mocap work in the Planet of the Apes movies is outstanding, just incredibly outstanding. And maybe because they've lost so much, maybe they did in a way deserve it, but that I don't want to get too caught up in the technical categories, but I wish Baby Driver would have gotten like either best film editing or
it definitely deserved best film editing. I did not to get into the Dunkirk rant, but that had the worst editing it was one of the worst edited movies I saw last year, I thought, because of the gimmick they did with the time thing. So the fact that it won, I was kind of shocked that it won because of that. But
I'm not too angry about it. But I mean, the reason why that Dunkirk works, it's not because of the editing. It's because of, it's more because of the story that's being told. Like, it's more because of how everything is structured and storied. And to a certain extent, you can say some of that is editing, of course. I mean, editing is like the thing with Dunkirk is it works more because of how this film is structured. And while, yes, you can say some of that to an extent is editing, it's more to do with, you know, it's more to do with, you know, Nolan's choices behind the scenes and how he built up and storyboarded and all. It's all the decisions he made beforehand and what he did for and what he gave to Lee Smith, the editor. So I definitely feel like Baby Driver should have won editing and sound. And then it didn't win anything at all. How sad. So, Brandon, what did you think about the acting categories?
Out of the ones I've seen, the movies I've seen, I thought the people who won deserved it. I haven't seen I, Tonya yet, but my favorite of the year, or second favorite movie of the year, was Three Billboards. So I was glad to see that they won actress and supporting actor. Gary Oldman deserved it for Darkest Hour. I like the results of those. I'll get into the Three Billboards versus Shape of Water in a second, but I haven't seen I, Tonya yet. With the nominations, I would have preferred to see I would prefer to see Logan nominated for a lot of awards, but Hugh Jackman should have definitely got nominated for Best Actor, and Patrick Stewart and Daphne Keene for supporting performances. And you could have easily knocked out some of the nominations to make room for them. But, you know, what are you going to do? It's a superhero movie, so it's naturally going to be snubbed. So,
at least it got a Best Adapted Screenplay nomination.
Yeah, that's something at least.
For me, I think the thing with the acting categories is I would have liked to have seen Timothée Chalamet won for Best Actor, even though Gary Oldman does give a really good performance, and it's a good performance. It's a really nothing against it. And then Frances McDormand, that's fine. She really did nail it. It was a great performance. And Best Supporting Actor, it's fine that it went to Sam Rockwell because he is giving a commanding performance and a very, you know, and trying to bring a character, trying to bring kind of a humanity to a very, very despicable character. Yep. But I would have liked to have seen like Richard Jenkins won or. Okay.
I think this is a good time to get into it.
No.
He's the one I would boot from the nominations by far, without a doubt. And replace it with Patrick Stewart or Daniel Craig from Logan Lucky or Mark Hamill from Star Wars. Anybody really, I would boot from replacing him with Richard Jenkins, but go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. And then supporting actress, that's really the big one. And the reason why I really like Allison Janney, but Laurie Metcalf, that should have been her Oscar, because she is basically the heart of the movie.
I saw Lady Bird yesterday or 2 days ago. I liked it. It's not 99% good on Rotten Tomatoes. It's not that good. I liked it though. It's good. I didn't like the ending to it. But I like the movie as a whole. Just from seeing the scenes from I, Tonya, I would vote for Allison Janney, to be honest. Laurie Metcalf didn't really stand out to me.
That's surprising.
In the same way that Saoirse Ronan did. She did a great job. Laurie Metcalf. I didn't like the character to begin with. I should that. Like, I think people like. Well, that's a whole other movie review, I guess. But it was a good movie. But she did a good job. But it wasn't like Oscar worthy for me personally. Like, or it is worthy of a nomination, but I don't think she, I would have given it to her.
It's just, she's working a lot more. She's working with a lot more. She's having to work with a lot less. Not saying less material. She's having to give a very demanding performance throughout the whole film, and it has an arc all the way through. Her performance itself has this arc of where she has to come to terms with her strong personality versus her daughter's strong personality. And she has to as a character, she has to let go. And I feel like Laurie Metcalf did a great job of going through those emotions and going through that arc very seamlessly.
I know it'll probably be chased with torches and pitchforks for this, but I like Lady Bird a lot. The best part of the movie, though, was her and her friends. The least interesting part was her and her mother, to be honest. I was so surprised that that's how I felt. I was so surprised because I kept hearing about this movie about her and her mother and how of a great like bond it is. I'm like, this isn't that interesting. I'm more interested about her and Lucas Hedges' character and Timothy Chalamet's character and her best friend. It's a great coming of age movie, but that's the by far the least interesting part for me. But that's just me, I guess. I don't know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I see a lot of the Laurie Metcalf, Saoirse Ronan relationship in my mom and sister, so, and in my aunt and my cousin. So I guess that's why.
And that may be why I'll tell you why at the end of the show, why I might, there's reasons why it may not be why that's the case for me, but I'll tell you later at the end of the show. Other performances.
I think that was it.
So let's get to the big debate. Okay. So, saw Lady Bird a couple days ago, but on the night I saw the Oscars, I turned on 5 minutes before and there was an interview with Greta Gerwig. And they were asking her about the movie. I heard her say, she said, "I like movies that pose questions with long and complex answers." Movies with questions with long, complex answers. I completely agree. And Shape of Water is not one of those movies. And that's why I think it'll go down as one of the worst winners in Oscar in the last like 20 years. Right up there with like Slumdog Millionaire, Shakespeare in Love, Crash, whatever, you know, we all know about those movies. And just real quick, like the idea for, besides not really being like believable, the idea of like a woman falling in love with a fish, I understand it's a fairy tale, but with that said, E.T. was about a kid and an alien bonding, and he took it so far. He took the idea of E.T. about a woman having sex with a fish, and he has this thing of making fairy tales that has sudden bursts of violence and sex. And actually, in Pan's Labyrinth, it was violence. In this one, it was violence and sex. So I'm just wondering what the point of the movie was, because if I saw it, and I enjoyed parts of it. Like, I enjoyed Michael Stuhlbarg's storyline. And Michael Shannon is very good as a villain, because he always is. But what is the point? Because if this is speaking to, for one, she's not even deaf. She's just kind of mute, you know?
Yeah, and she's mute. That's
because
the point.
Because the screenplay says so. So if the point is to speak to people who are lonely or shy, I think it's kind of insulting to them, to those people, that the in the movie, the solution to all this is just to have sex and be with the fish man. I don't know. I didn't feel anything watching the movie. I know you liked it a lot. I mean, how did you feel about it? Because I'm still trying to figure out why people loved it so much. Like, I don't know.
Okay. This is a loaded question. Okay. Let's start with, I agree with what Greta Gerwig says. And this is going to shock people too, but I think Three Billboards is that kind of movie that is asking the question of where does forgiveness lie, and where's the line between, you know, getting justice, but then it becomes personal, like revenge. Like, where is that line, and where does those lines meet? And I think the movie does ask those interesting questions. I just still, in my mind, I still have issues grappling with how certain things came to be. But we'll get to that in just a second.
Okay.
And then Lady... And I think Get Out does that to an extent as well. Asks a question that doesn't have a really great answer to. And then Lady Bird kind of sort of does. Like, it's a debatable kind of sort of. And then whereas Shape of Water, it doesn't... I agree. It does not ask, like, hard-hitting questions. Like, it pretty much answers everything for you. Like, you know, hey, you know, it's not right to treat, you know, someone who has, you know, comprehensive language and has, you know, its own identity. Like, it's not right to treat them like they're nothing. Right? And the movie says that very, very openly. And, you know, and I agree to an extent with what you're saying, but I think the reason why it will not become a crash situation or a Shakespeare in Love situation, or even like a Cleopatra situation, is because of what it will be, what it will mean for genre films going forward for the Oscars. Because if you've paid attention to even our Oscar retrospectives, there's not a lot of genre films, you know, being nominated. And even when they do get a nomination, it's like one every 10 years. Like, it's, you know, like in the 90s, we had Titanic, and then, you know, the 2000s, we had The Lord of the Rings. And so I think what it means for what The Shape of Water win means is that now genre films can sort of have also be nominated as well, which opens a wide door to things, because now maybe like superhero movies can get in.
I doubt that'll ever happen with superhero movies. Genre films have been being nominated every once in a while. Shape of Water is technically a fantasy movie, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
Even though the period piece element of it, well, okay, let me just say, like, I guess I just have a problem with the fact that it is two-dimensional characters for me. Like, I wasn't interested in what was going on.
I disagree.
It's not with La La Land last year. I hate that movie because the characters were so unlikable to me. This isn't a case of the characters being unlikable. It's just I didn't care because it was so obvious what the screenwriters were trying to do with them. It was so obvious what the message of the movie was. And I will say this: it's not the worst movie of the year, obviously, because there were so many worse movies coming out. I won't say that. But it had the worst scene. There are two worst scenes of the year, and can you guess what they are for me? Like, because you probably know what one of them is, because I hate musicals so much. It was that scene that that showed up at the end of the movie where they sing and dance. Which, my God, if you know, if a movie just suddenly had a kung fu action scene, it'd be criticized for being random and being out of tone. But for some reason, it can get away with a musical scene. I don't know why, but someone needs to explain that to me. But I don't know.
That's for a completely different podcast.
It's just, and then the scene in the bathroom and the second sex scene, the room filling up. I completely tuned out by that point. I just didn't care. The climax was uninteresting. He gave her gills. And spoiler alert, but I mean, come on, like, don't. I just didn't care.
He completed her.
No, that's the thing. It feels like it has the maturity of like a Disney movie. And then suddenly Michael Stolberg gets shot and then dragged and beaten and killed. And it's like, what is going on? Like, what? I just was so like, I don't know. Not for me, but kind of to move on. I like Three Billboards, though, I thought should have won. I love that movie. The characters were all very well written. The performances were great. The themes of the movie were not too obvious. It was a dark comedy mixed with like a, I thought it was going to be a mystery at first because of the fact that they're investigating a murder, but it turns out that's more about grief and trying to move on, which is kind of what Manchester by the Sea last year was about, but it was a completely different way, completely different way of approaching it. So I thought that should have won. And you know what? Not to go on a rant, but I think it's interesting that every year, movies like this, like Shape of Water, are nominated, or they win. Like, I know it's like Shape of Water, Gravity, Life of Pi, Slumdog Millionaire. Maybe not the artist to certain. That's kind of a different deal. But I know I'm missing some. But I prefer the ones that are like Three Billboards. You know, I mean, each year those usually don't win. Or actually, I guess Spotlight did win. I guess that's movies like that. But I guess I prefer the more down to earth dramas or character studies. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. But
like Moonlight.
No, I didn't enjoy Moonlight. Well, I mean, I like it. I like those character studies unless it's artsy and pretentious. But that's a different case.
I love Moonlight. That was fantastic. Yeah. It still holds up.
I was so confused while watching that. I'm like, not confused at what's going on, but like, why are they skipping? Why are they skipping 5 years? Why are they skipping this? I felt like there was like omissions in that movie. It was really odd. Like, it was like a rough cut.
That's a different conversation. As far as Shape of Water goes, I mean, it makes sense why it won. It's a feel good movie, and.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'll never enjoy feel-good movies, no matter what they are.
And I've seen the movie twice in theaters, and both times I've seen it, the ending always got an emotional response out of people. Like, when, not to get spoilers, but I mean, when Richard Jenkins slams Michael Shannon with that piece of, you know, wood and breaks his nose to get, you know, back to Fishman and Sally Hawkins, it's a rousing moment. Every person cheers. It's a great moment. And I
was emotionally dead by that point. I am not sure.
You are emotionally dead.
I couldn't care less what happened in that last scene. I really couldn't care. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's my personality type. It's just not meant for those kind of movies.
I don't know. It's just a really well. For me, the reason why I think it was good to give Shape of Water is because it kind of meets in the middle. It allows the outsiders, because if you notice in the movie, every one of the characters that are the heroes, they're the outsiders. They're kind of outside, or they're not, you know. I know.
The hammer was hit over my head several times during the movie. I know. Yeah. I mean, constantly. I mean, I'm not kidding, constantly. Because, I mean, they literally define Michael Shannon's character by how he has sex with his wife. That's a new low for me in my book. And how he buys a car. The fact he wants a nice car.
Wants to fit in with, you know, society's image of the family man and what that means for masculinity and all that and the machismo of it. So he's trying to fit in, and that's basically his own conflict. I don't know. I really love Shape of Water. And the second time I watched it, it was much more interesting of a watch because I was able to watch all the little details in the movie. And there are, and look, I'll admit, like the screenplay is very beating you over the head, but also, I mean, you can make the same argument for Three Billboards as well.
Actually, I would make the opposite argument. That's one of the most complex movies when it comes to themes. For some reason, people are calling it the Crash 2.0. I couldn't disagree less. I couldn't disagree more with that, because it was the opposite of Crash. It was like, I mean, it was a dark comedy. It was like it was taking these characters and they weren't two-dimensional, I thought. I mean, and there was no clear solution to the problem in the movie. But I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah. So you would have liked to have seen Three Billboards win.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Del Toro winning Best Picture and Best Director. I'm okay with it. It's fine. It's really, you know, I'll say this. I would have actually liked to have seen Peel win, or I don't know if I would have won. The thing about Greta Gerwig is she made a great movie. The thing is, though, the movie works a lot more because of the performances and the script she wrote. So I guess for Gerwig, I would have rather have seen her win original screenplay Peel for directing, because when you watch Get Out, it is very immaculately well crafted. It's very there's just so many little things that you miss on the first time watching it that you only get on the second and then the third and then the fourth viewing. Like, it's like the subtext is very layered. And then
I thought the best part of Lady Bird was actually, besides the performances, the editing was great in Lady Bird. Pacing was very
I agree.
Go ahead.
I think it's fine. The Shape of Water won. Like, it's a good. It basically is an indictment of the Oscars, which is we want to be socially progressive, but we still have people who are very fond of classical movies and classical settings and classical ideals. So. The Shape of Water, it basically just meets the standards, because they could, because in normal past, a movie like The Post, which is also a great movie, would have been huge at the Oscars. And then you would have also had Darkest Hour have a huge presence, and then you would have had Dunkirk be a gigantic presence because it's a massive epic war film. And those are the films that usually are the Oscar contenders. But The Shape of Water, it's kind of like the indictment of, like, we're progressive, but we still like classical stuff. So,
well, let me comment on the preferential voting system now, because I'm noticing something that's happening, or something that's going to happen from now on. I don't think that controversial movie, or like Three Billboards, not controversial, but like that kind of you know what I mean by, like, some people were mad at it. You know, some people, I don't think that movies like that, or even Detroit, will ever win again, because preferential means that it's the least hated movie. It means that it's the one that, like, people are even thinking that Get Out could win Best Picture, which I would have loved to see. But, you know, I think that, like, we're entering this stage where Hollywood, and really just our generation, is entering this kind of snowflake kind of stage where movies that raise questions like that, or that kind of push the boundaries, like Three Billboards in Detroit from last year, are criticized for being exploitative, or being, like, I don't know what, I mean, I don't get the whole outrage sometimes with it, but I think that we're going to see a lot of safe movies win Best Picture from now on, which is unfortunate, because, and so, sometimes that's good, but I mean, safe doesn't mean that's a bad thing, but it's just kind of disappointing, I think.
Well, safe also doesn't mean it will last in the zeitgeist like other movies have, like Citizen Kane, or did Taxi Driver win Best Picture? Or was, no, you're right.
Rocky won. A year very similar to this one, actually, because, Rocky won, the feel-good movie of the year, the one I didn't like, as opposed to Taxi Driver Network.
But I'll just say this, like, not all, every safe movie does win, but, or not every safe movie does get remembered. And I think we have to keep in mind with the Oscars is that the Oscars is just Hollywood's, it's the peers awarding their peers. If that makes any sense. Like, that's why for me, the Oscars are just like, it's a fun show to watch, and it's fun to kind of get into it, like a Super Bowl game or like, you know, the Olympics. But for me, it doesn't have too much merit, because you remember more, or in years from now, we'll remember more of movies like Taxi Driver or Pulp Fiction. We'll remember, you know, movies like that, movies that, you know, added something to the, you know, to the filmmaking consciousness.
Sure. Yeah. I guess what I mean though is by, yeah, I guess though, just to, like, there's a montage, they were talking about diversity in film, and I completely agree. There were a lot of great movies with diversity this year or last year, but they showed a clip of Wonder Woman, and someone was saying that a woman was crying in the theater.
There were women crying in my theater.
What's that?
Wait, you mean like in the award during the Oscars, or just in general?
Like, no, it was someone commenting on the Oscar. It was they were interviewing people about diversity in film, and they were showing a clip of Wonder Woman, and someone, the person commenting on it, said that when they went to the theater, someone was crying in the theater when they saw Wonder Woman. And they were even saying that Wonder Woman had a chance to get nominated for Best Picture this year or last year. That's just delusional. I think that this whole to cry during Wonder Woman, to say it should be nominated as opposed to Logan or Spider-Man Homecoming, that's just delusional, I think. I mean, there's a certain point where, like, what do you think? Because I know that I thought Wonder Woman was fine. I liked it. But, I mean, come on. Like, it's.
I'll say this. Wonder Woman is it's the best DC movie so far.
Sure.
It's a good movie. But I will agree, Logan is, like, if you were to do an Oscar campaign or have a comic book movie this year that should have won or got nominated for more awards, it would have been Logan. Like, that's obvious. As far as people crying in the theater, like, that happened in my screening and then this, you know, my second time seeing the movie when I saw it with Chris. That happened, you know, multiple times, and it's something you just hear. And I think the reason why Wonder Woman will have kind of a more outstanding effect is because it finally, much like Black Panther did with 3 weeks ago now, it finally is given, you know, a certain audience that's kind of been undermined or kind of like forgotten, you know, a movie and a character they can latch onto, and now they have, you know, someone to look up to, someone that can give them a bit of hope versus all these other superheroes, you know, or other comic book characters. So I think the power of Wonder Woman to me is understandable, and not only understandable, it means a lot. And I think we're going to see it over and over again when we finally get to Captain Marvel next year, when we get to eventually, I still think a Cyborg movie will eventually happen. I know everyone's like, it's not happening, but I think it'll eventually happen. And then we'll have, and we're going to see it a lot more. I think we're going to start seeing, you know, diversity mean a lot, you know, come into play, and it be a lot more, and it's for the better. It really will be.
Sure. Yeah, it is. But I just think that, like, I know it's mainly for me to say that I don't cry during movies. I cry during Schindler's List. I mean, we should cry during, like, movies like Schindler's List.
Yeah, you have to be a terrible person to not cry over Schindler's List.
To cry during Wonder Woman, I just think it's delusional, but that's just me. I don't know. I guess that's just my personality. I really like Black Panther a lot. It was a lot better than Wonder Woman, I thought. And I like there was diversity in it. I liked the whole concept. In Wonder Woman, I liked the first two thirds. You know, I didn't like the ending to Wonder Woman, but I just don't know. I don't know. It's just kind of odd that people are putting this much like weight in comic book movies because.
Well, it's what everyone's making.
They're just comic book movies. I mean, at the end of the day.
But that's what people are making is comic book movies.
Because
those are the only things that make. Well, that's the only thing that makes money nowadays. That's a guaranteed, mostly guaranteed hit, because that's the only thing that's guaranteed now to make a lot of money is comic book movies, and so studios are racing or trying to find ways to appease that market so they can, you know, so they can wait for the next thing to pop up, rather that be, you know, either anime or video game movies. Like, you know, that's what's keeping, you know, Hollywood afloat right now is comic book movies and Fast and Furious movies and Star Wars movies. Like, those are the films keeping everything afloat. So I understand why, like, people are putting a lot of eggs in the basket for, you know, comic book movies to have, you know, more diversity, rather that mean, you know, more women, more people of color, more, you know, more people of different types of different, you know, sexualities, you know, that kind of thing. Like, that's why
I think that's great.
It's fantastic.
And that's great, but at the end of the day, it's still just a comic movie. I emphasize the word just a comic movie. I mean, as good as some of them are, I think Logan is the only one that, because Logan's the only one that's not really not a superhero movie. It's so much different. It's an R-rated, you know, it's a drama, more of a character study, you know. At the end of the day, these Black Panther, Wonder Woman, all of these are just superhero movies. I don't understand why, like, people think it's changing culture when it kind of is for the genre, but it's changing the genre maybe, but they're not important movies. I mean, I don't know.
It's changing the culture because I think it's changing the culture more because finally, female characters are emboldened and more empowerful, and they have, you know, they're kind of assuming the roles of what we would give to the Schwarzeneggers, the 80s and 90s action heroes.
They have before, though. This isn't the first time.
You're right. It's becoming more commonplace. That's what I mean.
Sure. Yeah.
And then for people of color and people of different or in other aspects of diversity, for them, it's been however long since the last Blade movie. Like, it's been, like, what, 18 years or 14 years since Blade Trinity came out?
Sure.
So, you know, and yes, we had Captain America. Black Panther was in Captain America Civil War, and Cyborg was in Justice League. But we have to keep in mind, those were not the main characters of those stories. So, sure. To see a person of color leading a superhero movie or a woman leading a superhero movie, it adds a little bit more weight because not many studios are doing it. And when they do it, they either fuck it up really badly, or it's so cheap that, you know, the boundary, what they can do is limited.
Okay.
That's why I think. That's what
I mean. Yeah, it's great. It's great. I'm not sure if it's important the same way other people do. I don't know.
So we went on a tangent. Do you want to wrap up with any more Oscar talk?
Let me think what else. I can't think of the other awards now that were nominated. Yeah, I mean, Get Out, I'm glad that won Best Screenplay. I probably thought Three Billboards was my favorite screenplay of the year, but that's cool. I haven't seen Call Me By Your Name yet. I'm going to see that next week when it comes out on DVD. I don't know. I can't think of much else to say. Logan was snubbed, you know, but what do you expect?
To be fair, there was a lot of really good movies. Like, I'll say this about all 9 nominees, is that they're all really good movies. Like, there's not one movie, even Three Billboards, I really like. So I can't. I'm not happy with I'm not happy with any of the nominations. Like, all these movies were really good. They all deserved in their own way to be up there. So
sure. I just think that, I mean, the Oscars will always continue snubbing genre movies, even when they really break the confines of the genre, like Logan, Baby Driver, you know. It's just so unfortunate that those two movies that never stood a chance to get nominated for Best Picture, even though I think they're the two of the top 3 best movies of the year, I would say, for me. It's just really surprising they'll never go for one of those movies.
I think Logan would have probably done a little better if it came out
November, yeah.
Or December. Yeah, in October, November.
Yeah, probably.
Because I know it's weird to say that because of Get Out coming out a year ago, but I think honestly, I think Logan just had the disadvantage of coming out so early. And also, we have to keep in mind, 2017 was a great year for movies. like it, like it, I still stand by that every month I gave like at least one or two movies an A rating. So it was just a really good year. Like it was a phenomenal year. And I think if it was like a slower year, like I don't know, 2016 or, 2012 or 2013, maybe 2011, if it would have been like one of those, I think it would have done a lot better. But I think, I just think, I think the it coming out in March and it being also like just in a year of other phenomenally great movies, I think that's what hurt Logan so much.
All those great movies and Shape of Water won. So sad.
Oh, well.
What can you do?
but I still say, like, Three Billboards, it's a good movie. I get the controversy. I get it. Like, it's fine. Like, I get it. It's not like I'm tone. It's not like I'm not listening to it. It's just, it's a movie that, for me, it's just not, it's just not that kind of movie that I'm like, whatever. I just don't, like, it's a movie. I just, it's one of those movies where it's not worth it to me to have, it's not a movie good enough. It's not a movie great enough for me to like warrant, you know, a debate over. Like I can think of other movies that deserve a debate.
Wait, which over. Movie is this?
Three Billboards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's well, just,
yeah. I mean, I debate over, you mean like, what do you mean? Like,
debate over controversy and try and, maybe I should see it one more time, but I don't know. I just don't. It's one of those movies where it's just like, it's one of those movies I just feel I don't care about the controversy. I don't care to get into it. I don't.
Well, I don't understand the controversy because I guess for that and Detroit, I mean, it's about, I mean, both have racist cops in it. And when you put a racist cop in a movie, either it's going to be really simple and two-dimensional, you know, or it's going to be complex and, you know, they're both villains. Yeah, I mean, that's what you do in movies. So I, you know.
I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know. And I just don't care. I really don't care. Like, I'm happy with what I'm happy with with everything else that happened. You know, it's, I'm happy how the cookie, essentially, I'm happy how the cookie crumbled.
Okay, yeah.
There, that's all I have to say about the Oscars. I'm happy how the cookie crumbled. So with that said, Brandon, do you have any more thoughts on the Oscars before we head out?
Nope, not really.
All right. So that was our, so that is the Oscar season, folks. As far as next week is concerned, I think we'll try and get a react video up for The Wrinkle of Time. But other than that, it's pretty much going to be for a couple weeks kind of dead on the podcast side of things. However, I do recommend checking out Love, Simon when it comes out on March 16th. I did a review of it on SoCalThrills.com, and I recommend seeing it. It's a really good movie. And I'll have the Wrinkle of Time react video sometime over the weekend. But other than that, it's just going to be kind of slow here. Thanks everyone for listening. Brandon, you still don't have any social media, right?
Nope. Just the Lemon Bat YouTube channel, I guess. All right. Yeah, that counts.
And regarding the Lemon Bat channel, I think it's safe to say, Brandon, correct me if I'm wrong, but we'll have some more content coming out in the next few weeks. More
possibly. Yeah, possibly. I still may change the name too. I don't know. We're still working on it. So
it's a work in progress, but we'll have more in like April or May.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on that note, you can find me on Twitter at MovieKale. You can also follow me at The Youth Critic. You can also follow me at The Youth Critic. That's where you get all the updates on the podcast. And you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHD Network. Thank you, everyone. We will be back with you in roughly a couple weeks.
You, sir. She can hear you.
You clean that lab, you get out.
This may very well be the most sensitive asset ever to be housed in this facility.
You may think that thing looks human. Stands on two legs, right? But we're created in the Lord's image. You don't think that's what the Lord looks like, do you?
This creature is intelligent, capable of language, of understanding emotions.
When he looks at me, he doesn't know how I am incomplete. He sees me as I am.
J'avoue, je n'ai bavé pas vous, mon amour. Avant d'avoir eu vent de vous.
The natives in the Amazon worshiped him like a god.
Get him out.
What are you talking about?
No.
We need to take it apart, learn how it works.
I don't want an intricate, beautiful thing destroyed.
We can do nothing. I'm sorry.
Don't do this, Eliza.
What is she saying?
Don't do this.
Oh, God, it's not even human.
If I told you about her, what would I say? I wonder.